Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, my name's Brendan. I'm one of the student ministers here. It's a privilege to preach from God's Word. Today's passage, at the very end, you just heard in the reading, Jesus says, "Let anyone who has ears to hear listen." Now, he doesn't say that because this passage is hard to understand. He says that because it's hard to accept. So let's pray that we would have ears to hear and accept Jesus' words today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your words to us today. Please give us ears to hear and accept these words. Amen. Well, you might have heard a story about a couple a few years ago. They went to Disney World in Florida. They went for a holiday, a time together, and they went to a restaurant to eat. And tragically, the wife was served food that gave her an anaphylactic reaction. They had told the restaurant of her allergies, but they served her the food anyway, and very sadly, she died. Now, her husband, Jeffrey, of course, he was very upset, and later on, he tried to sue Disney for what they did. But what he didn't realize was 4 years earlier, when he signed up to Disney Plus, the streaming service, he signed up for a one-month free trial. And he ticked that box, you know the box you have to tick, do you agree with the terms and conditions? And hidden in the pages and pages of text and in the small print was a clause that said, if you have any disputes with Disney, you have to agree to settle them outside the courts. Isn't that awful? Disney actually pulled up their terms and conditions. And they said to Jeffrey, hey, you agreed to this. Don't we hate it when that kind of thing happens? We hate it when people trick us, when they don't tell us up front everything that we should know. Can I tell you today that Jesus is not like that? Jesus is not like that at all. He doesn't hide anything. He doesn't trick anyone. If you want to follow Jesus, he tells you up front everything that it will involve. See, if you decide to be a Christian, Jesus lays it all out. And he actually lays it all out so clearly that you might have been shocked by what he says in today's passage. He uses shocking language because he tells us exactly what it means to follow him. There aren't pages and pages and small print of terms and conditions. There are only two. There are two terms that you must agree with to follow Jesus. And the first one is what we focused on last week. The last week, we learned that following Jesus costs nothing. It's free. It's a gift that you receive. Now, it's actually really important that you grasp this first. It's so important because the kingdom of God is only for people who realize they need a savior. That's what we learned last week. It's a free gift to undeserving people. And you might remember the Pharisees. They had this problem where they thought that they deserved to be in the kingdom. They thought they deserved to be there, but thinking that was what disqualified them. See, following Jesus requires that we realize it costs us nothing. It's accepting a free gift. But the second term of following Jesus is that following Jesus costs everything. It costs everything. Because when you follow Jesus, you no longer live for yourself, but for him. See, I love how Paul summarizes these twin truths in 2 Corinthians 5. Have a look, it's up on the screen. It says, Jesus died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. See, Jesus died for you, that you might live. That costs you nothing. It's free. It's his grace. It's a gift. But now that you live, you no longer live for yourself. You don't live for yourself anymore, but you live for him who died for you. That costs you everything. Your whole life, your relationships, your possessions, your time, your ambitions, your job, everything is now for him. Have any of you seen those plate spinners? They have five or six sticks and they have plates on them and they kind of run around and keep them all spinning at the same time. You know, sometimes life feels a little bit like that, kind of a frantic run of keeping all of your commitments going. Sometimes people think Christianity is like adding an extra plate to keep spinning, adding one extra commitment that you kind of keep amongst the rest. But today Jesus is saying that's the furthest thing from the truth. Because when you become a Christian, you don't just add another plate to keep spinning. Your whole life is transformed. Your whole life is now for Jesus. In today's passage, Jesus is speaking to a large crowd. There's probably thousands of people there. And he says, "You might think you're my disciple because you've been hanging around me. You've been listening to me. You've even possibly come from a far distance to come and listen to me. But if I'm just another thing in your life, another plate spinning, another commitment, then you cannot be my disciple." And this was proved true when Jesus hung on the cross. The crowd had to decide whether they were willing to stand with the one being mocked or not. See, the crowd that day, they were full of fans who were willing to watch Jesus from afar, but not followers who were willing to follow Jesus even to the cross. In the clearest and most confronting way today, Jesus says, "Following me will cost you everything." And he actually wants you to know up front. He wants you to know up front so that you are ready to stand with him even in the toughest times, even in the times when your allegiance to him is tested. It's better that you know up front what it will cost you to follow Jesus. He wants you to know. And he says, unless you hate your family, bear your cross, and renounce all your possessions, you cannot be my disciple. Oh, we're going to think about each of them one at a time. So take a look at the first one in verse 26. Have a look at verse 26. Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Can you imagine the tension in the crowd? There would have been a whole bunch of people who came with their family. You know, someone looks to their right and sees their wife, and then they look down and see their kids, and Jesus says, "You have to hate these precious people." This is a bit of an awkward passage for me to preach today because as I look out, I see some family members of mine. We have a friend. We have a good friend who became a Christian in late high school. Her family were not Christian, and they were not pleased with her decision at all. It was quite a hard decision for her to make to become a Christian. And she got more and more serious about following Jesus until one day she came home and all of her stuff was outside the house. And she wasn't allowed in anymore. She'd been kicked out by her family. And it was in this moment that she had to decide whether to follow Jesus or to follow her family. Can you imagine being put in that situation? She couldn't do both. Jesus says, unless you hate your family, you cannot be my disciple. What he's saying so clearly is that your allegiance to me must be above everyone else, even your family. Now, I'm sure that in a room this size, there are people amongst us who have experienced something like this. You know that your decision to follow Jesus has had consequences for your family life. Whether big or small, take heart. Jesus tells you to expect this. And do not give up following Jesus, no matter the cost. Now, I don't need to point out that Jesus spoke very strongly. We're uncomfortable by what he says. He uses the word hate. And he uses that word intentionally to shock us so that we don't mishear him, so that we do hear him. He wants to shock us so that we might be ready for the day where our allegiance to him is tested. See, Christians, more than anyone else, are to honor and care for family, even those who are antagonistic to our faith. We always act with kindness, but never compromising our faith. Jesus says to the crowds, and he says to you, if you want to follow me, you must be ready to put me even above your own family. The second confronting thing Jesus says is that my disciples bear their cross. They must bear their cross. Have a look at verse 27. Verse 27, Jesus says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, it's actually hard for us to see or imagine that these words would have been more shocking than what he just said about family. These words are actually more shocking than Jesus saying you must hate your family. Over the last 2,000 years, our Christian history has changed the symbol of the cross from a humiliating torture device to a symbol of love. See, back then, to bear your cross was to carry two heavy beams of wood on your shoulders to the place where you would be hanged on them naked, to suffocate. You'd be mocked as people watched. Can you see what Jesus is asking? He's asking a lot of his followers. You must bear your cross, a death sentence, a humiliating one. Now, we do have to remember that as Jesus asks his disciples to do so much, he never demands more than what he has done for them. See, Jesus first gave his life for us that we might give up our life for him. I think what's particularly on view in this image of bearing your cross is suffering and persecution. As Christians, we don't seek it out or enjoy suffering, but we do expect it. In Gospel Teams, I've really enjoyed so far, we've been going through 2 Timothy, and the book is really about continuing to serve God even in suffering. And Paul makes a promise in chapter 3. He says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The promise for Christians is persecution. That's what we're promised will happen to us if we seek to live a godly life. I don't know if any of you have been around prosperity gospel teaching or heard prosperity gospel teaching or been influenced by it. In this teaching, it says that if you have faith, you'll be blessed with health, wealth, and happiness, comfort, and pleasure. And if you don't get these things, it's because your faith is not strong enough. This is a lie. This is false teaching. It can't be further than the promise Paul gave Timothy in 2 Timothy. He says, if you want to live a godly life, I promise you, you will be persecuted. See, the gospel message, it's offensive. It really is offensive to the world that we live in. It says, because of your sin, God is just to punish you. And so we should expect persecution as we seek to follow Jesus. If you've never experienced any kind of persecution, it's worth asking yourself why that might be. Because if we're living for Jesus, we should expect to experience persecution in big or small ways, whether that's being mocked by colleagues or excluded from gatherings or even partiality in job opportunities. In many parts of the world, persecution is physical and much more severe. Jesus says, unless you're ready to suffer for following me, you cannot be my disciple. Because it's in times of suffering and persecution where we have to make a decision to stand with Jesus or to give in. Well, finally, the last thing Jesus says is disciples must renounce their possessions. Disciples must renounce their possessions. A few years ago, I spent a week following a quantity surveyor around. His job was to calculate the cost of building projects to the smallest details. It was amazing watching him. He had to work out the volume of concrete that would be used, the price of floor finishes, even the length of water pipes, everything to the smallest detail. He had to count the cost to know, so that companies would know whether they had enough to complete their project. It was really important for companies to know what it would cost. And Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you should count the cost first. You should know what it's going to involve so that you don't start without being able to finish. And he tells these two parables that make a similar point to each other. We read them out before. The first is about a man who wants to build a tower. And Jesus says, surely he would sit down first and count the cost. And the second parable is about a king who's thinking about going to war or not. And Jesus says, surely this man would first sit down and work out whether he was able to win or needed to ask for peace. Surely he would do that first. And in the same way, someone deciding to follow Jesus should sit down and work out what it will cost them so that they're not surprised later on and give up. Now, we have to be clear here that Jesus is not saying to take your time. He's not saying, take your time making this decision and counting the cost. You might have noticed as we read it out in the second parable, there's an army of 20,000 soldiers coming. This is a decision that has to be quick. Whether to go to war or ask for peace, this is urgent. This king needs to sit down immediately and count the cost. If you're here today and you're still working out whether to follow Jesus or not, do not delay. Sit down. Consider the cost. There's nothing more urgent. Jesus might return any day. And as an aside for us, as we seek to evangelize and share the gospel, we should never hide the cost from people. If we hide the cost from someone we're sharing the gospel with, we're doing them a disservice. Jesus wants people to know what it will involve so that they can stick with him. It can be really tempting for us when we're sharing the gospel with people not to talk about the things that would have to change in their life if they became a Christian or the suffering that they might face. But Jesus tells us to follow him knowing what the cost will be. Everything, our whole lives. Look at verse 33, how he puts it again. In verse 33, Jesus says, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. Whether you have a lot or not much at all, it all belongs to Jesus. Sometimes we can think that what we give to God at church, we give to him, we give to church, that's his and the rest is ours. But that's kind of like the spinning plate Christianity, where we just add another plate that belongs to Jesus. The rest of our money is his as well. The rest of our possessions are his as well. Because when you renounce all that you have, you're saying nothing belongs to me. I'm no longer an owner, but a steward. Christians are stewards. What is it that's most precious to you? It belongs to him. What's the thing you have that's the most mundane thing? That belongs to him as well. What's the thing you have that's most useful to him? It's his as well. See, please hear Jesus' words. He's not saying that if you do not renounce all your possessions, Jesus is saying, if you do not renounce all your possessions, you cannot be my disciple. Really sadly, I've seen the slow drift away from Jesus too many times. It's happened probably to many people who you know as well. It even happened to one of Paul's ministry partners, Demas. We're going to learn about him in a few weeks in Gospel Teams. Paul says in 2 Timothy, Demas has deserted me because he loved this present world. See, Demas never renounced all that he had to Jesus. He loved his stuff more than he loved Jesus. If we hold on to our things for ourselves, we will never be able to hold on to Jesus and live for him. Following Jesus costs everything. And Jesus wants you to know it as you sign up to follow him. He says, unless you hate your family, bear your cross, and renounce your possessions, you cannot be my disciple, because you will end up loving these things more than me. Now, you might be here today and just be thinking, why would I follow Jesus? The cost is too big. But the cost of not following Jesus is even bigger. It's being thrown out. That's what we all deserve because of our sin, and it's the point that Jesus makes at the end of the passage when he talks about salt. And you might have read that little bit about salt at the end and thought, that's a bit random, but it's actually a summary of everything he said. See, Jesus says in verse 34 that salt is only good if it stays salty. Now, we know this is true. If you have salt that isn't salty, what would you do with it? You'd throw it out. You'd get new salt. In the same way, Jesus says, if you are following me without following me, living like me and for me, then you are not my disciple at all. You'll be thrown out. See, the cost of following Jesus is high, but the cost of not following him is even higher. As I've been preparing this, I've been really struck by the cost of following Jesus. But the thing that I've loved the most is what happens next. See, as I mentioned before, Jesus says, anyone who has ears to hear, listen. He wants people from the crowd to listen to his words, to count the cost and follow him. And I can imagine that many people that day in the crowd would have decided to stop listening to Jesus, thinking the cost is too high. I've come all this way to see him, but I'm not going to give my life for him. But there was one group who came closer to listen to Jesus. Out of the thousands there that day, we're told in chapter 15, verse 1, the next verse, that sinners came to listen to Jesus. It was the sinners who came to listen to Jesus. Because it's those who realize they need a Savior who will be willing to give up everything to live for him. It's only when we realize how much we need and how much Jesus has given us that we will count the cost and run towards Jesus to follow him, forsaking all else, giving up our lives to serve him. Jesus died for you, that you might live. That's his free invitation into the kingdom, which you do not naturally belong. Following Jesus costs nothing. It's a gift, an invitation to accept. But those who live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. Following Jesus costs everything, because we now live for him. So Jesus says today, count the cost, be aware, and live for me who died for you. Let's pray. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own family, bear his own cross, or renounce all his possessions, he cannot be my disciple. Dear Father, thank you for freely giving us all that we need in the Lord Jesus. Give us the humility to accept salvation freely, and give us the wisdom and strength to give up everything we have to follow Jesus. Amen.